my personality to be jittery. It's part of my charm.
Wrestling fans,
are you ready?
It's time for my 1-2-3 cents of the podcast on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network.
Give me the hell yeah!
Now, here's your host.
The man is also a very long, dear personal friend of mine.
Does the guy have a name?
Yes, he has a name.
Kevin Huntsberger.
Woo!
Hey everyone, Kevin here once again with my 1-2-3 cents. Thank you so much for downloading, tuning in, and sharing this show. I've got this broken up into two segments, and the last few days have been kind of crazy, personally and with the whole Hulk Hogan thing going on, and that's why I'm recording this portion now, separate from the bulk of this episode, which was a fun kind of silly show that I did with my wife, Lisa. It's called The Wrestling Widow, and she talks a little bit about life with a wrestling fan for the last 20 plus years as being someone who is not so much a fan of the business. But then this whole Hulk Hogan story broke as kind of a harder news edge, if you will. And so I thought it was important to address that. I had hoped to record this with Chad, but he too has a lot going on in his personal life right now, and we just were not able to match up our schedules over the weekend. It's been crazy, and so he's going to share his perspective through a blog over at my123cents.com, and I will probably piggyback on that as well. But I just, the main reason I'm talking about this is because I have been asked by fans of the My123Cents Facebook page and on Twitter, as well as through just my friends on Facebook who are not wrestling fans, because this story, of course, has made national headlines in the mainstream media. And by now, I think everybody knows what has happened. Hulk Hogan was on tape using racial slurs, the N-word specifically, and has been fired and essentially erased from the WWE's history. He is no longer listed on their website as an alum, as a Hall of Fame superstar. He's been fired from Tough Enough. He is, for all intents and purposes, you cannot find Hulk Hogan anywhere on WWE.com. He's still on the app. If you go to the WWE Network, you can still search and see his matches. So, my opinions, though, and again, these are just my opinions, my thoughts on this situation. I think in this day and age, in 2015, people need to be aware that the N-word is offensive, derogatory. It has no place in our conversation today. It's my understanding, though, that Hogan made these comments that were caught on tape several years ago, still in that frame of reference where it's not acceptable to use the word for anyone, whether you're black or white or, you know, Latino. No matter what your gender, no matter what your race, the N-word is offensive. So if you you know, defend some who use it and don't admonish others who do use it, you're part of the problem. You know, today's society, we have to, it's an all or nothing stand on this. If you are offended by some groups but not others, then you are part of the problem. And again, that's my opinion. If you don't like what Hulk Hogan said, you know, and people are crying freedom of speech. When you work for a company, when you are a public figure, freedom of speech does not count for you. That company, that business has the prerogative to, you know, fire you, to release you from your contract, to do whatever they have to do. That being said, and I do think the WWE made the right call in taking Hogan off of Tough Enough and cutting ties with him for now. My personal opinion, though, completely erasing him from the Hall of Fame, taking him off the Hall of Fame page, even if it's just temporary, and I don't know if this is going to develop into him being kicked out of the Hall of Fame and they totally cutting ties with him completely. I think that's a mistake. In this day and age, I do also believe that society, you know, time heals wounds, and I do believe that Hogan is sincere in his apology, and I think that, you know, people for the most part are forgiving. I've read reports of several black performers and entertainers, former wrestlers, Kamala in particular, Dennis Rodman, George Foreman, have all come to defend Hulk Hogan. You know, it doesn't make it right. What he said was offensive and was not something that should have been said in any context. But again, we as the consumer of these entertainment products, whether it's through the music we listen to, the TV shows we watch, no matter what it is, we have to be taking a stand on this as well and not tolerating it from anyone if we are going to be offended by it. You know, I remember, and some people have drawn the reference to Vince McMahon using it to John Cena, and Booker T was standing nearby. It was on Raw several years ago. I think it was 2007-ish, 2005, somewhere in that time frame. And, you know, the defense is that that was a character, and, you know, you can't draw the comparisons. That's part of my problem. We have to take an all-or-nothing stand on this, and I'm going to keep saying that. You can't justify one person saying it in quote-unquote character, and then when someone says it outside of that, how, especially for kids watching, how do you draw that line? How do you explain that and make that tolerable and, you know, something that, that can be gotten away with? That being said, also, I want to say that why I think Hulk Hogan should still stay in the Hall of Fame is the character Hulk Hogan went into the Hall of Fame. As far as I know, the interview that was done, I believe it was done, you know, Hulk Hogan wasn't a wrestler, wasn't an active wrestler at the time, or wasn't with WWE at the time. He was Terry Bollea. So how do you draw the line between Terry Bollea making comments on a radio show or being caught on tape? Or I don't know exactly the circumstances that all of this went down, but how do you draw the line between real life and character? It, you know, it's similar to me, at least, of Daniel Radcliffe, for example, saying something derogatory, but then do you erase him then from the whole Harry Potter franchise? And I know I'm drawing some maybe some weird comparisons, but these are kind of the things that I have brought up and remember through some of these different circumstances. You know, 2008, I'm not going to name names, but a WWE management, someone in management, made the remark to a black superstar with the N-word. That superstar went to management and complained. That member of the administration, if you will, was suspended for 60 days and went through sensitivity training. He is still with the company today. You know, pencils have erasers because we all make mistakes. And I am not, again, justifying what Hulk Hogan said. And I am not saying that he shouldn't have been fired. I stand by the WWE on their decision to release him. I, you know, it's the right call. If they felt that it was the right call to get him out of the Tough Enough scenario and off of the main stage for right now, then I support that decision. I will continue to watch the WWE product, but I will also continue to watch Hulk Hogan matches on the WWE Network. And I will continue to recognize him as a member of the WWE Hall of Fame. They may come back and come up with something different down the road here. I'm not sure. But again, it all kind of goes into today's society, the sensitivity, and just kind of knowing that that word is not acceptable. There are other words that, that shouldn't be said in today's language as well, but, you know, people have to think before they speak, especially because you don't know who's listening, who you're going to offend. And I'm not saying we become a society of walking on eggshells, but in corporate America today, that is kind of what it is like. You have to be careful with what you say. Choose your words wisely and be careful. So that's kind of the serious side of this week's podcast. Now enjoy a little bit of bashing from my wife with the wrestling widow. She actually goes kind of easy on me, but anyway. Hey everyone, taking the show on the road, driving up to St. Louis right now to pick up our kids from from the airport. And I say we because I am joined by my wife, who is the very first female guest to join my 123 since the podcast. Do you feel honored by this?
Sure.
So the reason, this is my wife Lisa, and the reason I'm having her on is because we were talking the other day about how I
I've been a wrestling fan all my life, and I started dating her in college at about the age of 19. And I don't think you really knew then how nuts I was about wrestling.
Not at all.
And I remember specifically because it was about this time back in 1992, and there was an event called SummerSlam, and it was going to be on pay-per-view. And of course, back then it was before the internet and before you could watch it online or whatever. So I had to wait to get the results. And I remember kind of mentioning that to you, and you were kind of indifferent at the time because at least you knew a little bit about wrestling. Your parents or your mom watched wrestling at one point, right?
She would watch it on Sunday because there was nothing on TV at that time, and we didn't have cable, and so she'd watch it when she was ironing clothes. But I think more because nothing else was on. Sorry, babe.
But you didn't run away, obviously. You didn't think I was a complete freak. So we took it a step further that fall. There was a house show in Cape Girardeau where we both went to school at the Show Me Center. And it was the first time that that live wrestling had come and we were together. And so I don't remember if I asked you if you wanted to go or how it worked out, but you ended up going. And what did you think then?
That was my first event. I mean, it was all right. Nothing that I thought, gosh, I can't wait to go again.
But you'd win again.
I did.
And this is probably my favorite story because I had gotten tickets to a show in St. Louis. It was summer break. It was a couple years later. And I didn't know it at the time because I didn't really read the fine print on the tickets, but it ended up being like a taping for Superstars, Wrestling Challenge, Raw, and a Coliseum home video series. So there was like four different things that they were taping that night. And I remember we were probably about 2 hours into it, and I'm like, oh my God, this is not going to end. And you looked at me and you were like, when is this going to end? How much longer is this going to be? And I'm like, I have no idea. It was like a four-hour event. So I think after that, you were a little wrestling overload.
Definitely. I mean, I was just trying to court you.
And it worked. But then even after that, after the four-hour show, again, a year later, back down at SEMO, and another wrestling event comes to town, and for some reason, I didn't have friends who liked wrestling, I guess, because we ended up going again to the Show Me Center for another show, and I think that was our third and final show together.
Yes, I think the key was you didn't have a lot of friends who liked wrestling or anyone who was into wrestling, so it was kind of in the closet.
My fandom was in the closet for sure, because obviously now with the blog and the podcast and everything else, it's out there, and the WrestleManias and the WWE Network and all this. So, obviously, we've been together almost 25 years.
Wow.
I know, right? And obviously, it's not, it hasn't driven you away. So, what is it that, why are you cool with all this?
Well, it beats drugs or alcohol.
There are worse addictions out there, I guess, is
yes.
what you're saying.
Yes.
And pornography.
And pornography, yes.
So, what, because we, you occasionally, you'll walk into the room and it'll be on and you'll watch for a second. And now that our son watched it for a bit and went through the phase and went to a couple live shows. And then Brooke, our daughter, watches it a little bit more often with me now. What do you think about the kids watching it?
I don't mind. I mean, I sometimes think the women are a little too... I mean, it's guys. You just they want them to watch, and it's... I just don't get it. I mean, they're dressed very little. I think the acting is just bad when they do the acting, and they're, like, doing their fake fighting. But whatever. You need your little eye candy. I got it.
The other thing is... For a few years, I was doing commentary for independent wrestling, and then I actually had a match. And that I said that third WWF match was the last live one you went to, but to your credit, you and the kids and several of our friends came, or several of my work friends came to
and your older friends, yeah.
to the wrestling show. Yeah, my fraternity brothers came down from St. Louis.
Yeah, I did like that.
It was a big deal. So what were you thinking? Because I didn't, all you knew is I was going to be wrestling, but I didn't tell you what was going to happen. So you had no idea what was going to happen that night.
That was pretty darn scary because, I mean, then I saw that while it's might be laid out or whatever, I mean, it was real physical. You were getting slapped and smacked, and I didn't enjoy it, but I didn't hate it either.
Our daughter, though, did not like it at all.
She cried.
Yeah, she was probably about 4.5 years old at the time, and you know, the match, the chops are real, and the action, you know, I mean, obviously we choreographed what we were going to do, but, you know, you're hitting that mat, and it's there's pain involved with that, so I thought it was cool, though, that you guys came out to it.
Well, and then the guy you were, was that Mike Masters?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. First of all, I didn't mind watching that eye candy out there, but I didn't really care that he was beating me up because, I mean, he was really, really strong and buff, and not that you're not, babe, but...
I did wrestle with a t-shirt for a reason.
Not that you're not, but, I mean, that was the scary part of it.
And then, of course, it ended with him getting hit in the head with a chair that obviously went wrong, and he ended up bleeding all over the place.
That was, yeah.
Got a bunch of staples in his head. So that was another sign of the realness, if you will, of everything. So also, you have been very supportive, and I am very thankful for, and I've written about on the blog at my123cents.com about... the little bromance that I have with Chad, who is a constant part of this show as well, but obviously not here this week. But
no, because if he was here, you'd be all into the wrestling, and I wouldn't have any time.
So we, you know, we've made the trek to WrestleMania, and you've been really cool about all that, and you've even tolerated the costumes. We've dressed up as various
it's a little weird
superstars from the past, but. What do you, like, honestly, what do your friends say when they see the pictures or they hear about it or whatever? Because, you know, social media, everybody kind of talks. Do you ever feel like, I mean, I know there are times that you feel embarrassed about it, but are there times that you're like, I can't believe this is happening and this, you know?
I can't believe that this is the guy I married and he's dressing up. And there's several of these older guys dressing up like wrestlers. It's very weird to me, and I laugh about it, but, you know, you're a funny, nice guy, and everybody, that's what everybody says. It could be worse. It could be cocaine. So, you know, I just have to roll with it. It's all right. It's weird, but it's all right.
And you mentioned... you married this guy, and that reminded me of our wedding. And I remember we got married right around the time of WrestleMania. It was right after WrestleMania 13, but the year before at WrestleMania 12, Shawn Michaels had ziplined to the ring for the arena. And I had jokingly, but if it was going to happen, it would have been cool, said that's how I wanted to come down to the aisle, was via a zipline.
And my parents thought you were very weird as well.
That's understandable. But the one concession that I did get for the wedding was when we walked into the reception, I wanted 2001 Space Odyssey, Ric Flair's theme music played when we came through. And I don't even know if I snuck that past you, if you realized what we were walking into, but you went for it. And when we got through the doors, I let out a big woo in honor of the Nature Boy.
Yeah, well, Kevin, you were also wearing a Mickey Mouse vest and bow tie, so, I mean, you're a little quirky.
A little, that's a nice way of putting things, and that was the two things that I wanted on that, two of the things I wanted, but also when, one of the other things that reminds me of how much you dislike wrestling was when I had I still have it, the Iron Sheik and Nikolai Volkov t-shirt that you can now read a newspaper through.
Oh, my God!
You tried throwing that away when we were in college or hiding it from you or something, and I finally found it, but...
This thing is so thin that you can see right through it. I don't know why you still have it and wear it.
sentimental reasons. I've only worn it on Nerd Shirt Thursday, and I kind of keep it now just for, I guess, sentimental reasons.
On our honeymoon night, that's what he wore.
With the Mickey Mouse boxers with the hearts on them, so.
Oh, God.
Well, you said it. I am quirky and kind of weird, so.
That did not set the mood.
When, basically, though, the bottom line is for all the other geeks out there and wrestling nerds out there listening, there is hope. There are women out there who aren't totally disgusted or disturbed by
but
our...
But keep it in the closet till after you've been married for several years, then it's too late. There's no going back.
I do partially because we were together, we started dating in 92, and, I mean, you obviously knew about some of the wrestling stuff. We went to some of these shows, but then it kind of...
Went away.
It got way out of hand when we moved to Southern Illinois, and I met Chad because
Chad was
way into it. And that was in 2004, and
Chad is single, by the way,
and ready to mingle, ladies. Chad and I took it to a whole new level, and that's when the whole WrestleMania thing started, and the whole bromance. Because everywhere we've worked and lived, because we've bounced around, this is our fourth stop on the road, this is the first time I've been around other wrestling fans. At least I feel like that have been into it to the degree that I've been into it. So.
Travis, I mean, there's a lot of crazy, yes.
Travis and Matt, and there were Weston, who used to be here. Everybody has moved away, so I'm kind of back now to, you know, doing this podcast, and that's kind of my therapy for my wrestling out.
I honestly think, like, Travis and Matt, and they, like, keep some sense of normalcy, you know. Chad and you are just out there weird.
I need to find something else to balance it with, I guess. Maybe I'll start playing golf.
Whatever. You have a good time. Go for it.
All right. You heard it. There's the new permission slip. She just wrote me another blank check. So let's, any closing thoughts, any closing comments? You said if you're a wrestling fan and looking for love, maybe keep it in the closet or at least don't have it on display as prominently as I do now.
Correct. That's, yes.
So it's not such a bad thing, guys.
It is a bad thing.
She's being crazy. You can find love and live happily ever after, but balance it out. And I'm working on that too. I'm trying to not be as extreme with it, and I've scaled back. Monday nights now, I'm still hanging out with the family because we've cut the satellite out, and we're playing board games a couple weeks ago on a Monday night, which normally I'm gone. For the last 20 years, I've been gone watching Monday Night Raw in the back bedroom. So, you know, I'm making some small baby steps.
Yeah, it's a bit much. It's consuming all your free time.
So, I thought we'd share a few words of advice and a few stories from our past as... I'm calling this episode The Wrestling Widow, and you can read more about it at my123cents.com. Everyone, thanks for listening. Lisa, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Check us out on Amazon. Go to my123cents.com or, of course, jitterymonkey.com. And be sure to give us a rating and review on iTunes as well if you're checking us out through iTunes. Thanks again, everyone, for listening to My123Cents.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.